Osho, this, a thousand times this, the very essence of Zen. Talks given at the Osho Commune International, Pune, India. Discourse number 11.
Beloved Bhagwan, a monk came from Joshu Oshu's assembly to Ukyu, who said to him, "What do you find in Josu's teaching? Is there anything different from what you find here?" The monk said, "Nothing different." Ukyu said, "If there is nothing different, why don't you go back there?" And he hit him with his stick. The monk said, "If your stick had eyes to see, you would not strike me like that." Ukyu said, "Today I have come across a monk," and he gave him three more blows. The monk went out. Ukyu called after him and said, "One may receive unfair blows." The monk turned back and said, "To my regret, the stick is in your hand." Ukyu said, "If you need it, I will let you have it." The monk went up to Ukyu, seized his stick, and gave him three blows with it. Ukyu said, "Unfair blows, unfair blows." The monk said, "One may receive them." Ukyu said, "I hit this one too casually." The monk made bows. Ukyu said, "Osho, is that how you take leave?" The monk laughed aloud and went out. Ukyu said, "That's it. That's it."
Manisha, this tremendously silent assembly of seekers of truth and love is still being misunderstood by spectators, by journalists, who out of sheer compassion we allowed in, just today I received from Germany the Bunte magazine's article. A beautiful article, because I have given good hits to the journalist . I have prevented in advance that no negative articles should be written, just see the fact and report it without any prejudice, covering your eyes. The article is ninety-9% factual, and I thank the journalist and the editor but on few points they could not resist. To show their stupidity. I simply cannot understand how blind people are. They can't see the silence. They can't feel the presence of so many hearts beating together. Even the bamboos can understand, but Bunte, remains German. Few things I have to reply to the article before I take up the beautiful anecdote and discuss it. The Bunte magazine says that I speak with an Indian accent. What do you want me to speak with a German accent? English is nobody's monopoly. The American speaks in the American accent. The Australian speaks in the Australian accent. The German speaks in the worst accent. What is wrong in being the Indian accent? Secondly, he says, that I use a gutter language. Obviously, if you have to speak with a gutter journalist, you have to speak the language they can understand. Rather than feeling the spiritual climate, not a single journalist forgets that the podium is made of marble. That the Buddha auditorium is made of marble, how poor is the world . Nobody criticizes Taj Mahal because it is made of marble. Nobody criticizes the great palaces and temples and cathedrals. Everybody is appreciating them. But anything that is connected with me, they cannot argue against what I am saying. They don't have anything to oppose my understanding of things. Then they start being stupidly interested in things which prove only their poverty and nothing else. Do they come here to know whether the podium is made of marble or not? Are they some kind of experts about marble? This is all that they see. They don't see the silence and the music and the dance and the high rising peaks of consciousness of thousands of people. And these blind people go on spreading their stupid opinions, polluting the mind of the masses. I would like Bunte to send the same representative again here. He has missed the point. These stone walls does not matter. What matters is this precious consciousness. What matters is this cuckoo calling, the joy, the peace. A peace that passes understanding. Send at least educated, cultured representatives who have experienced something of meditation. Otherwise, please leave us alone. Don't harass. It is beyond you. I would like my German sannyasins to write letters to Bunte on every single point, hitting just as a German should do. This is an international gathering. And nobody can be allowed to spread rumors, fictitious allegations, for that the whole world is available. If you want to find crime, if you want to find murders, suicides, the whole world is available. But in this small oasis where roses are being grown, you should come with open eyes . It is not part of your world. The moment you enter the gate of this commune, you should be alert and aware that you are facing a new phase of humanity. You are entering into future. And this is possible only with humbleness. With great intelligence, with great love, not with ordinary journalists who are interested only in sensationalism. These people here are not interested at all in any sensationalism. They are interested totally and wholly only to inquire their own being. Just watch what has disappeared from the world. What has become unbelievable in the world is still breathing here. It is an alive experiment. And I will not allow anybody to say anything that is not honest, truthful. If you cannot understand, keep your mouth shut. I am not interested in your circulation. I am not interested in the whole world. Even if the whole world disappears, we are enough unto ourselves. I am not a politician who is afraid of losing reputation. Anyway, I don't have any reputation. How I can lose it? I am so much notorious that you cannot make me more notorious . My people are working silently on a totally different plane. If you cannot understand it, just say so, that it is beyond your comprehension. But nobody wants to acknowledge one's ignorance. But it is your responsibility, in whichever language, in whichever country, anything appears about this commune, if it is not truthful and honest, hammer it from here, from your own country. Make these people understand clearly that although all their efforts are to make me silent, they are fighting a losing battle. They can kill me, murder me, poison me. They have already done everything that they could. But truth is eternal. It will speak, and it will speak through thousands of mouths. There is no way to stop its song and its dance. I received a letter from England. One sannyasin was refused entry into India. He went to the ambassador, Indian ambassador in England, to ask why his application has been refused. And the answer that he received was that nobody can ask me why. I am a sovereign authority here. These pygmy politicians, which come and go, as the season changes, think themselves sovereign. We have a different definition of sovereignty. Only individuals who know themselves are sovereigns. The days of the kings and the queens and the emperors are finished. There are only four kings is still alive in the playing cards, and the fifth is not even a king, but only a husband of a queen. And rumors are that Prince Philip, the husband of Queen Elizabeth, himself is a queen. I cannot guarantee. But this is all that is left. Four kings in the playing cards, and the fifth king who is a queen. That world is no more there. Now arises the individual on the horizon as a sovereign of his own being. Everybody is a sovereign, a king of his own consciousness. Here we are creating not slaves belonging to any religion, but sovereigns, knowers, individuals free, with their wings unfettered. We are destroying their cages, however precious and antique. It is strange that I have never come across a single journalist who will report exactly what is happening here. Perhaps first they should join in the game, experience the taste of my presence, the taste of this commune, and only then write or speak anything. Otherwise, whatever they say as an outsider is going to be false. Only the insider's view can have any validity. This is one of the most meaningful anecdotes. A monk came from Josu Oso's assembly to Ukku. Both are great masters, and it was almost a natural phenomenon to move from one master's assembly to another, just to see whether the same experience is happening everywhere. Ukku was very famous particularly because he was the first Zen master to use the stick. A monk came from Josu Osho's assembly to Ukku, who said to him, "What do you find in Josu's teaching? Is there anything different from what you find here?" The monk said, "Nothing different." Ukkyu said, "If there is nothing different, why don't you go back there?" And he hit him with his stick. He is making the point clear that every master has some uniqueness. The ultimate experience may be the same, but the paths to it are many. According to the master, different flowers blossom on the path. If there is no difference, then why have you come? And he hit him with his stick, at least to make it clear that that much is different. Your master has never hit you. The monk said, "If your stick had eyes to see, why would not you would not strike me like that?" The monk is not a humble man, but arrogant. The hit of Ukku was out of compassion to wake you up. Rather than being thankful, he said, "If your stick had eyes to see, you would not strike me like that." Ukkyu said, "Today I have come across a monk," and he gave him three more blows. The monk went out. Ukkyu called after him and said, "One may receive unfair blows. You should not go this way without answering or without asking why you have been hit. The monk went out. Ukkyu called after him and said, "One may receive unfair blows." The monk turned back and said, "To my regret, the stick is in your hand." These were very great people and great days. This kind of dialogue is very special to Zen. Ukku said, "If you need it, I will let you have it." The monk went up Tuku seized his stick and gave him 3 blows with it. Ukku said, "Unfair blows, unfair blows." The monk said, "One may receive them." Ukku said, "I hit this one too, casually. You were not worthy of it." The moment he said, "I hit this one too casually," the monk made bows. Ukku said, "Osho." Osho is a very honorable word. It is almost used for the masters. For example, Josu Osho. Osho is not his name, but his honor. His acceptance as an enlightened man. Ukku said, "Osho, is that how you take leave?" The monk laughed aloud and went out. Ukku said, "That's it. That's it." Secho makes this commentary. "Is it to call the snakes, hard to scatter them? How splendidly they crossed swaths. Although the sea is deep, it can be drained. The Kalpa stone is hard but wears out." The Kalpa stone is a mythological way of measuring time, just like light years. The Kalpa stone is 40 miles square. Every 100 years, a nymph comes and passes the sleeve of her silken robe lightly over it. When the stone has wholly worn out, one kalpa, or one eon, one age, has passed. The kalpa stone will eventually cease to exist, but the achievement of Ukku and the monk will last forever. Secho is saying, the Kalpa stone is hard but wears away. Old Ukku, who is there like you to give the stick to another? That was truly thoughtlessness. Thoughtlessness is respected only by Zen. Everywhere thought rules supreme. Only in the world of Zen, thought it's just a bondage. Thoughtlessness is freedom. Ukkyu was one of Basso's outstanding disciples. After he had left Basso and was living in his own temple, two monks, Jain and Sho, came from Basso's monastery to have an interview with him. Ukkyu asked Jain, "Where are you from?" "From Kozei," replied Jain. Kozei was in the location of Basso's temple. Before Jain had finished these words, Ukkyu gave him a blow with his stick. Jain said, "I have heard that you treat visitors like this. You do not understand me," said Ukkyu, and turning to So, he said, "Come before me." When So came forward, he was hit before he had said anything. Ukkyu was one of the first Zen masters to use the stick in his teaching. What was this teaching by stick, by hitting people? He was showing by hitting them that just come out of your sleep, wake up. You are the Buddha. You are the Dharma. Accept your isness. Everything is just a dream. Only your witnessing is authentically real. Otherwise, everything comes and goes like a dream. Only the witness remains. Manisha's first question: "Beloved Bhagwan, Zen seems to be of the understanding that the end always justifies the means. Would you please comment?" Manisha, there is no beginning and there is no end. There is no means and there is no goal. Zen is this declaration. Your question has been discussed by intelligentsia down the ages. What is important? Means are the end. Can by wrong means one can achieve the right end? Or by achieving the right end, it does not matter what kind of means you use to reach it. I can discuss your question only on the margin. It has nothing to do with the anecdote we are discussing. Nobody can reach to the right end without right means. Because the end is nothing but the ultimate flowering of the means. The goal is nothing but the road reaching to its fullness. You cannot divide the road from the goal. Otherwise, there will be an unbridgeable space. I am in absolute support with those who have at least intellectually accepted the idea that only right means can bring the right end. You cannot divide them. Although everybody is dividing them. Particularly the politicians are dividing them. They are using all kinds of wrong means and they are thinking they will reach to the right end. Theologians are using the same mistake by rituals, by worship, by scriptures. They are thinking they will reach to the ultimate essence of their being. Zen does not bother about ends and means. You are both together, the means and the end, the way and the fulfillment of the way. Manisha's second question is, beloved Bhagwan, has a disciple only proved himself worthy as a disciple when he has gone beyond discipleship? Manisha, in every disciple there is a deep desire somehow to go beyond it. To be a disciple seems to be humiliating. One can make oneself surrounded by a philosophical fog that a disciple is only a disciple when he has gone beyond discipleship. As far as I am concerned, a disciple is authentically disciple when he does not want to go anywhere, even beyond disciplehood, when he is so much deeply rooted in himself, there is no question of transcendence. In being oneself, you have transcended all relationships, not only discipleship, but all relationships. You are simply alone, standing like a mountain high, rising into the sky, alone in its beauty, in its freedom, in its being. A disciple has not to transcend. Yes, transcendence comes, but it cannot be a goal for the disciple. It is a happening. When you have reached home, there is no need of the way, and there is no need of any vehicle. When you are, everything else falls away. You stand absolutely naked under the sun in the open sky, alone in your beauty and blissfulness. Transcendence has come to you. It was never the goal. It is the reward. To be as deeply a disciple existence rewards you by transcendence. Then you are enough. There is nothing more left to be learned. The word disciple simply means one who is learning. But there comes a point within you, there is nothing to learn. One simply is. This isness is transcendence, but it comes by its own, spontaneously, without your seeking it. Your seeking is dangerous. Your seeking will become a hindrance even to be a disciple. Your desire for transcending simply means getting rid of disciplehood. Get deeper into your own being and consciousness, and transcendence will come. It is bound to come. Just you have to be at home. few laughters before we enter into our own selves. Francesco goes to the medical room to see Dr. Azima. Mama Mia, he says to Azima, I come home last night and found my girlfriend in bed with my best friend. I was about to kill them both when my girlfriend, she say, come Anna, Francesco, we all are friends, let us have a cup of coffee together. So we all sit down and have a cup of coffee. Says Francesco, the next day I find her in a bed with another Swami and my girlfriend, she say the same thing. So we all have a cup of coffee and doctor, this happen every day this week. I see, says Dr. Azima, but I am a doctor, not a therapist. So why are you tell me all of this? Well, says Francesco, I am worried, will it be a bad for me, all this coffee? Olga Omsky, a Russian housewife, is the envy of all her neighbors because she always has a plentiful supply of fresh vegetables and fruit. One day one of her neighbors is visiting her. Tell me, comrade Olga, asked the neighbor, how do you manage it? It is quite simple, explains Olga. I have a parrot which I have trained to speak. Whenever I go to the market, the parrot sits on the handle of my shopping cart. I leave the cart in the middle of the market, and when the parrot starts its squawking, long live communism, and then everyone throws at it whatever they can get their hands on. Paddy gets a new job, and on the first day, the boss walks up to him and says, what is your name? Patrick Murphy. Paddy replies, look here. He snaps the boss, say, sir, when you speak to me. All right, says Paddy, Sir Patrick Murphy. O old man Finkelstein is lonely one evening, so he invites his pal Rosenfeld over for a game of cards. They play for a while, and then Rosenfeld looks at his watch. "What time is it?" he asks. "My watch has stopped." "Who cares?" says the Fink. "Well, look at your watch," says Rosenfeld. "I ain't got a watch," says Fink. "Then look at the clock in the bedroom," says Rosenfeld. "I ain't got a clock in the bedroom," says Finkelstein. "Well, how about the clock in the kitchen?" asks Rosenfeld. "I ain't got one there either," says Fink. "Well, don't you wanna know what time it is?" asks Rosenfeld. "When I wanna know," says Fink, "I just pick up my drum." "Drum?" asks Rosenfeld. "I will show you," says Fink, and he takes his drum over to the window and starts beating on it. All around the houses, outside windows, go up and people start yelling, "Are you crazy? Beating a drum at 11:45? Now, Nivedano can beat the drum. The first drum. Utterly silent. Close your eyes. No movement. Let your whole energy be in. this force your needle of consciousness on the point, this Nivedana, relax, just be dead. This a thousand times this Nivedana, come back to life. Really back with your fresh consciousness like a flame which has burnt all that is false, just be like the bamboos. Here and now. Okay, Manisha?
Yes, Bhagwan.